Hi, this is part one of the special episode of the podcast, The Four Boys Club. I'm Shaurya. There's a dark well, a well you go to draw water from when you're angry. You know the water is toxic, poisonous even, but you still do, because you can't help it. Sometimes the anger is too substantial, too overpowering, that things like reasoning lose all significance. You stand just outside it, peer down, and you're scared. Scared of the water. What if it burns you, leaves you suffering and afflicted? What if it leaves you scarred, not physically but emotionally, and in doing so, marks you as its own? But the thing is, you need that water, because the poison it carries will be your liberation. It will, in a strange and inexplicable way, heal you from the cut you endured all those years ago as a child. The cut that still stings you, sending a current of pain through you long after you've grown into adulthood. How do you stop yourself from taking a deep, long sip of that corrupted water? Part 1. Offshoots. Shanky's mother always said there was a reason people slept at night and worked during the day. Of course, she did not count people working night shifts, night guards, doctors, police, even customer care executives, but her kids were too young when she passed this pearl of wisdom to them to know better. When Meera, Shanky's sister, who had just turned 6 a couple of months ago, asked if it was because of monsters, sniggering at the idea that adults were afraid of ghosts as well, her mother fixed her with a look of condescension the kids had become used to in the Y household. "It's because your mind starts knocking on doors it does not during the day," she said. "Doors that lead to corridors it does not have any business exploring, which should be left alone." For Shanky's sisters, the thought was ominous. Baffling, maybe even nonsensical, but ominous. For Shanky, it was perplexing at best. He thought he knew what his mother was alluding to. After the chill dad's death, his mother, now a widow following an 18-year marriage, had become difficult. It wasn't that the sternness she parented with had developed abruptly. She was always a strict mother. But she had become even more uncompromising in her demeanor. Maybe that was why, upon turning their respective ages of 18 years, all three kids left home one by one. It is worth a mention that Vanshi, who was the youngest of the lot, had to bear her mother by herself after the elder sister, Meera, left 3 years previously. And so it was she who, in the years of their adulthood, visited her mum the least. But Shanky would often remember his mother's maxim decades later, when the allure of darkness often got the better of him, forcing him down a wormhole of maddening thoughts. Well past being the boy he once was, Shanky had become a celebrated novelist, with all the riches and an indomitable repute he once had hoped to achieve. His mother was dead, and his sisters were living in their worlds far away. Even though they had read all his books, both having different opinions of them, they did not keep in touch much. What was keeping Shanky, shall we say, too caught up in his head most nights was the person who he had just not been able to shake away since he was a boy. The person who had tormented him, both physically and by being in his thoughts, since the day that caused a radical change within him. He had put on 10 kilograms, and lugging the weight around in the physical education classes did elicit sniggers and laughter. Another shade of this humiliation, unrelated to our topic of discussion, was the nickname he had been given, AV's boyfriend, after kids at school had discovered he listened to Avril Lavigne. This may have had a bearing in the broader context of things, but it's debatable, and so not something we would discuss at great length. If you looked at it objectively, you would not necessarily call it humiliation. But considering Shanky's state of mind at the time, which we certainly cannot and should not view objectively, it was an apt portrayal of his sentiments. What caused the deep rupture in Shankey's persona since that unforgettable day was, well, it was inexplicable in every definition of the word. If you, respected listener, remember, we did speak about the other Shankey that rose out of the conscious side of his mind after his mother rejected his request to take up arts in 11th. The other Shankey was carefree, not bound by the trivialities such as feelings or aspirations. It forced Shankey to, as cheesy as it sounds, listen to his heart. But the other Shankey, or the real Shankey, neither could shake away that incident with Adya Paran. Adya, the Venus to Shankey's earth, if you remember from our previous accounts, who was ratted to a girl he, Adya, had spoken ill about by Shankey himself, leading to the physical altercation that's already been spoken so much about. But certain cuts just don't heal. They say time heals all wounds, but they're not entirely right. They certainly had never felt the kind of obsessive need to keep clutching to the past, no matter how painful it is to relive those memories. It is stupid, really, the way we can't push away the memories that bring us more sorrow than happiness. Even stupider, that we can't simply move on. To just move on. Sounds simple enough, doesn't it? And yet, years after Shankey became who he wanted to be, a lot of his dreams, if not every, achieved, Adya never left the little corner he now occupied in Shankey's mind. Or maybe that's not the right way to represent it. For it was Shankey who did not let Adya go. Perhaps Shankey never made a conscious effort. Maybe he liked to submit to the lure of misery and woe. Or perhaps Shankey had tried the best he could and failed. Or perhaps the fact that Adya and Shankey had to share the same classroom for 2 more years was the reason Shankey's mind rendered Adya's mark on it indelible. At the turn of their 11th grade, both picked commerce. Shankey picked math, much to his displeasure and his mother's satisfaction, and Adya went with informatics practices. Except the 1 hour a day when Adya went for his IP classes, the two sat within the same 4 walls for most of the day. The two had left their previous classmates in the science section. Not many had chosen arts. But Adya, who was more amicable, made friends rather quickly. Shankey, however, did not. And seeing Adya with other friends made him, well, envious. Shankey knew what he was feeling was utterly ridiculous. He was on the verge of adulthood. Such envy was best suited for children. But at the same time, he could not deny his feelings. The seeds of jealousy had been sown, and they would in time germinate. It's worth noting that, by this time, the four boys' club had started disintegrating. Anpag was missing, his parents had no clue where he was. They would in time, and you can imagine their deep sorrow when they would. But just then, they did not. Mompi and Bandhim, too, were not in touch. After they started their 11th, they all drifted away from each other. There was no particular reason we can point to why this group of friends whose stories we are following disbanded. But it did. And that is the by and by of it. All through school, Shankey harbored that envy. He recognized it, but did not, could not, do much about it. 3 years of college and the subsequent few years provided him brief respite. Yet, the memory of the beating from all those years ago would revisit his conscious mind every now and then. And with it, the humiliation that had come on its heels, the indignity he had to endure. The anger he was living with since then would flare up, threatening to break free of the clutches he had bound it in. But after a few minutes, it would subside, and he would return to the present. Only until it returned, stronger the next time.